Well, it's great to be with you guys this morning. Hope you're all keeping well from the comfort of your homes. It's great to share God's word with you from this capacity. I've got my breakfast bar as my pulpit this morning. And yeah, it's great to be with you. So, in the 1800s, there was a guy who went by the name of David Livingstone, who became a Christian missionary not long after he received his medical diploma and was ordained. And around this time, the Opium War was on, which shut him out of China, where he had thought to go. But while waiting, he met a guy called Dr. Moffat, who said he had seen in Africa the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been. And in learning this, Livingstone knew where he had to go to share the good news of the gospel. He said, "I will go to Africa at once." And so he returned one night to his old home. The next morning at the family altar, David read Psalm 121 and Psalm 135, which praises God for his sovereign rule over all things as he worshipped with his father and sister, and then he prayed. And so father and son walked together to Glasgow, where they parted company, never to meet again until glory. And his mother-in-law, Mrs. Moffat, wrote to David in Linyardy, and said that Psalm 121 was always in her mind as she thought about him and prayed for him, because she knew that David dearly needed the help for his journey, and that help comes from the Lord, his keeping and sustaining hand in this race that was set before him to minister this life-changing gospel in Africa. And really, with that wonderful story in mind, we are landed well at our passage today, which is Psalm 121. For this psalm is a psalm that we all need to live in, be reminded of, and be prayed over us daily too. Why? Because we need the helping hand of the Lord and his sustaining grace in our lives in this brief and uncertain Christian journey of ascent here on earth. And so Psalm 121, a song of ascent, strength for our journey. It says this here: "I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shield on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Let us just pause and pray. Father, we thank you that your word is true truth, that speaks truly about each and every one of us here this morning. So Father, I ask, would your church not see me? And would they be pointed towards you as we look at this wonderful psalm? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as we dive into this psalm, it's always good to get our bearings, isn't it? To see what the context of Psalm 121 is all about. One Christian writer says the psalms contain the framework of all parts of the Christian soul. And isn't that true? I know it to be true, because that's why we so often turn to the Psalms, because here we dive into words that are much better than our own, that express many different experiences and feelings that we go through, times of joy, times of confusion, times of discouragement and darkness, and even times like this, times of isolation. And really what we see in the Psalms is how God answers, how God keeps, how God gives perseverance and wisdom to his people. And so the questions I want you guys to think about today are these. How do we travel well through this brief and uncertain Christian life? Who keeps us on course? And where does our help come from? So I want you guys to think about that this morning as we go through this psalm. And so Psalm 121 lands us well at this thought. Because Psalm 121 is really a traveler's psalm, and it's the second of the 15 pilgrim psalms, the songs of ascent. And the Jews would have sung this psalm as they made their ascent on the way up to Jerusalem, as they approach along well-worn paths, across deep valleys, along river passes, over mountains and hills, just like you maybe a day in the morning that you would see and experience, to the view in the land of the mountains of Jerusalem, the hill of the Lord, to worship him. That's Psalm 15. You can just imagine how the psalm would have been sung. It would have been sung by a hopeful yet weary and tired psalmist who had been traveling for days. You can picture his sore feet. He's spent. Jerusalem seems very far and maybe even impossible to reach on this dangerous ascent, with twists and turns, falls and attacks along the way. And really, Psalm 121 is a psalm of our journey, of our ascent through this brief Christian life. One preacher said that our entire life is an ascent, that when we come to faith in Christ, we find ourselves in the valley of sin and we are redeemed. And we are on this road of being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, where sanctification makes us more like Christ as we ascend through this brief life to glory. And so as we dive into Psalm 121, we notice straight off the bat is the psalmist finds himself in a great deal of trouble. He's worried about his journey, fearful of attacks, possibly scared of losing his sense of direction along the way. He sees his journey as not a simple walk along the towpath to Belfast with Cave Hill in sight. His eyesight is in need of the right direction to look. And so where does he look? He notices the hills in the distance. He breaks into this song of dependence and hope for his journey, because he knows that it's wise to look to the strong for strength. And so firstly, the trusting psalmist's faith and hope is looking beyond himself to God. He says, I lift my eyes to the hills. I wonder, can he picture this scene yet? The psalmist's eyes are lifted onto the hills. He's looking beyond himself, onto a gracious God to keep his soul steady. Because when the psalmist looks at himself, and often when we look at ourselves, what do we find? Nothing but fear, sinful ways, some good ways and some bad ones. And ultimately we see how imperfect we are, and how we can't do a single day on the Christian road alone. And it's not the hills that the psalmist or you and me to look to for help, but notice the psalmist, he looks higher than the hills to God, the only all-sufficient helper for the journey. He doesn't beat about the bush for long, but he answers his question himself. He says, my help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. What a brilliant answer to this rhetorical question in verse 1. You see, for above the hills, the psalmist knows that's only where his help comes from. You see, this helper he's looking to is the very helper who made those hills, the very helper who gave the psalmist eyesight even to cast his gaze upwards towards him and beyond to the God of all creation for his help, the maker of heaven and earth. So why should he be afraid? For he looks to the one who has the strong hand to pick up those hills and do whatever he pleases with them. His help comes from above. You see, anywhere else the psalmist looks, he looks in vain. And anywhere else we may look, even today, for our Christian journey, we look in vain also. You see, the psalmist sees that his King, his God, his salvation, that he could take all space and time and hold them between his little finger and his thumb. What a God, what a King. And if God can do that, think about how much more he can help the psalmist, how much more he can help people like you and me. He is here for the Christian journey. He is here for us today. And really what we can learn from the psalmist is this. We don't find ourselves being watched and cared for by a God who has his hand in his head, sitting panicking about all that's going on, saying to himself, I'll see what happens. Whatever will be, will be. I can't do anything to help today, unfortunately. You're on your own, Psalmist. You're on your own, Jamie. Be encouraged, Christian. That's not the case. That has never been the case, but we have one who takes a loving interest in his children. One who is sovereignly in control. One who's watching us as a father watches his child and provide help for each step of the way. Our help comes only from the one who has no rival or challenger, no comparison or competitor. All other hills we see before us in this life can neither rescue us nor destroy us. So let me ask, where do you look to for help today? What have you been looking to for your help? Maybe you've been looking for help in someone or something that can actually help. Let me encourage you to open your eyes and look to the Lord. He is your strength for the journey. He is your help. C.H. Spurgeon says that our help only comes to the saints, you and I, from above. So let us lift our eyes with hope, expectance, desire, and confidence. You see, we can have confidence in our God today. Even though we are in isolation, our journey is still on. We can have hope. Because often the devil will try to keep our eyes upon pains and frustrations, sorrows and fake gods and fake news that may discourage us and cause us to look to the wrong things. But when we look with the psalmist, with the spiritual eyes of our heart of hearts, to the heavenly hill of the Lord, all we can see is our help comes from the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. And when the eyes of our hearts see that, we see the purposes of God. We see the promises of God. We see the providence of God, the faithfulness of God, and the goodness of God to people like you and me. You see, nothing is beyond their God. He's the God of Ephesians 4. He is able to do far more abundantly than all you can ask or think or even imagine. Our God is for us Christians. If you're truly His, He is not against us. However, if you are outside of Jesus, if you have not come to faith in Christ, if you have not repented of your sins and don't know Jesus as Lord, then God is against you. And you are against God. So let me encourage you today to look up. Look to the one who has made those hills. Look to the one who has made heaven and earth, because nothing else can rescue like our God. Look to the one who, as Romans shows us in 3 verse 25, that God put forward Christ as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Look to the one who is able to divert God's wrath for your sin upon himself today. Look to that old rugged cross. For in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses and sins according to the richness of his grace. That's Ephesians 1:7. Isn't that good news? That's what makes you grasp what Psalm 121 is all about. When you truly know what it means to be saved and kept by Jesus as Lord. And so God calls his people, you and I, to be dependent and see that help is on the road. And the God who sends it, to hear this, he is never late. He helps hour after hour, minute after minute, second after second. So rest in that today. Because you need it. I needed the constant, powerful help of our God. So not only do we see our all-sufficient helper for our journey, but as we dive deeper into the psalm, we see the psalmist now responds in a new confidence. He sees how God is strengthening and supporting his faith. He recognizes thirdly that the Lord is his. He is your only keeper and protector along the way. Verses 3 and 4, as he moved from first person to second person language, he that is God will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. But maybe you're thinking, But why do I need this keeping? I thought his help was enough. A number of years ago, there was a ship that was captained by a guy called Captain D. He was in command of this vessel, this ship sailing from Liverpool to New York. And on one voyage, he had all his family on board the ship. And one night, when all were quietly asleep, there arose this sudden storm, this great windstorm which came sweeping across the waters until it struck the ship and instantly threw her on her side. Everything went tumbling and crashing around the ship. All this awakened the passengers to this consciousness that they were in big trouble, that they were in danger. Everyone on board was alarmed and pretty uneasy. Some sprang from their beds and began to dress that they might be ready for the worst. And Captain D, he had a little girl on board, just 8 years old, who of course was awoken like the rest on board. "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. They told her a windstorm had struck the ship. "Is the father on deck?" she said. "Yes, father's on deck." The little girl then dropped herself on her pillow again without a fear. And in a few moments, she was sleeping soundly in spite of the chaos going around and the wind and the waves. And my friends, how much more soundly should we sleep when our God, who never slumbers or sleeps, is guarding us? And so the psalmist here has complete trust in God, just like this little girl and her father, because he knows the father is always on deck. The father is always on the journey with him, that he is in complete control. God will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The psalmist knows that the God of all creation will lead and guide no matter what comes his way. For even when he sleeps, God won't. And so, my friends, this is the same God who keeps us today, even in uncertain times like these. So I wonder, do you know him? If you do, then be encouraged. You're kept by him and not yourself. Not because of anything special he sees inside of you, but because of Jesus, who has brought you into this covenant family and made you members of God's royal family. So rest assured, Christian. Lay your head on the safe and secure pillow of God's keeping hand during the stormy pains and the windy struggles of this journey. Because the Father of all creation, he is keeping his own. Even in the stormy pains and the windy struggles, we can rest assured and lay our head on the safe pillow of God's keeping hand in our journeys. Even when we are weary, even when we are tired, even when we are worn out in the Christian life, finding the paths of life dangerous and difficult, slipping and sliding along the way, you will not fall beyond reach. He will not let your foot be moved. For God will turn our stumbling, God will turn our falling and our messed up and weary ways for our good and his glory. See, God is greater than our failing mistakes. He causes his weak saints to persevere. This is the perseverance of the saints. And so our understanding of God, our theology, it does matter. Why? So that we can grasp a true understanding of the keeping yet holy and just God of the Bible, and not a made up one. He will hold us fast. Why? Because he never takes an afternoon nap, nor dozes off, because if he did, we wouldn't stand the chance, would we? Our God can be called upon at any time, in any place, in any circumstances. He hears and he keeps. Psalm 73 says, "I am continually with you. You guide me with your counsel. You will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My friends, this is how we are kept. He is the strength of our hearts. God has united us to strong Jesus. All we have is Christ. All we need is Christ. All that keeps us is found in Christ. And so every step we take, even in uncertain times, we can be thankful that we do not walk alone, but we walk under the guarding and the keeping and the watchful eye of our God. And so in the slightly edited words of that late 90s song, I'll Be Missing You by Faith Evans and Sean Combs, every step I take, every move I make, every single day, every time I pray, I'll be keeping you. Praise Him that His watchful eyes are never closed to any child of God. We are kept for time and for eternity. I wonder, does this make you thankful today? That the great shepherd takes care of both the young and the old watching today. We can praise Him today. Not only does our God keep us from falling head over foot when we are tired and weary on our Christian journey, but He also sees forthly that we are weak, and He keeps us in our journey of weakness. This is verses 5 to 6. So you see, the psalmist sees that we are vulnerable on all sides. Yet again, he grasps that even though we are vulnerable, he sees that He who keeps Israel is your keeper. The Lord is your shield and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. And really what we see is the keeping care of God over His people. And if we head right back in our Bibles, we see in the Exodus when God brought His people out of Egypt and then through the wilderness, He guarded them from the heat of the sun by the cloud of day, and from the cold and the moistness of night, and the moon by the pillars of fire by night. And we hear this, the same keeping care is for us today like it was all those years ago. But notice how the psalmist doesn't say that God will take the sun and the dark nights away. He doesn't say that, but rather he is saying that when problems and temptations and weaknesses get weaker and pains grow and seem to come out of control with no end in sight, day after day and night after night, we can rest assured, just like the psalmist, that nothing, either day or night, can harm us beyond repair if God is keeping guard. God is our shield and our strength. He provides relief and comfort. God is our help in the midst of the most difficult times. He uses trials for our good and His glory, my friends. You see, our weakness is offset by God's strength. God always takes up this position from which He can defend us, no matter which direction the attacks will come. Isn't that what the Bible says? That God's power, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness? Because often we are attacked at our weakest points, aren't we? But at times, as you know too well, we are attacked at our strongest ones. And we see this many times in the Bible. And so as we move through this life, we will need shielded from this blazing sun. Not like a good bit of shade on that one-off warm summer's day in the North Coast, but rather, we need the Lord to shield us daily. We need the shield on our right hand. Our main source of protection needs covered. And God does this. God will take care of that weakness problem we all have. We can't. Day and night and all the time, God's ever-present protection never ceases. Be encouraged. The people of God are kept at all times and all circumstances by His mighty power, and we hear this, unto everlasting salvation. We are kept in body, in mind, and in spirit, kept until glory, because no one has been plucked from the Lord's keeping hand. He is the faithful one. Even when we feel like we're letting go of God, God has not loosened a single finger of His grip on us. Isn't that a reassuring thought today? This was the psalmist's gospel. This is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is who He is. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, weak and helpless sheep like you and me. And so the keeping Father of the heavens and the earth has given us over to Jesus. And Jesus says in John 17:12, I have kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost. The psalmist has shown us this, that God through Christ is our keeper and sustainer. Praise him this morning. See, not only are we kept shaded and secure in our weakness, but the psalmist is bringing us home by showing us that we are kept by our protector from the problem of evil that we face forever and always. Verses 7 and 8 shows us, the Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Please, don't get me wrong. What the psalmist here is showing us is not that nothing bad will happen to you, because as you know, bad things do. Loved ones die, plans fail and go. We feel sick and helpless. The world goes into lockdown because of a virus and many other things. But rather, the psalmist is saying that we are kept not from a cushioned, cozy life, but he means that we are kept for a well-armed one by God's keeping power. As Derek Kidner, he says that. And so Psalm 23 shows that we can expect dark valleys to come, but yet we can face them, can't we? Because the God who keeps you from all evil will keep your life. You see, this life God has breathed into is secure in the palm of God's hand, for God is with you. You're kept by God's rod and God's staff in perfect comfort, followed closely on the heels by goodness and mercy all the days of your life. Our God is a God who will guard his own peoples from evils great and small, temporary and eternal. Our soul and our life is kept safe by God, kept from the complete rule of sin, kept from the pride that says, I can do this myself, kept from the world which daily tries to draw us in, kept from our own flesh and the devil, and kept for greater things. We are kept by the love of Jesus for the kingdom of glory, where one day our faith will give way to sight, where we will be with him. And he is ours and we are his. What a day that will be. So ask yourself, who can harm you and your soul that God has kept? No one. Yes, sin still leaves those nail marks and those scars on the door of your heart. But we hear this, the nails are gone. They have been pulled out by Christ and borne by Jesus on the cross. Amen. So I wonder, do you know what it means to have those nails removed this morning? I wonder, can you say, just like the hymn writer, ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven? I wonder, can you even sing Numbers 6 today? Has not the Lord blessed and kept us? Of course he has. Has he made his face shine upon us and all his graciousness? Yes. And he will continue to do so. Has God lifted up his countenance to undeserving folks like ourselves to give us peace? Yes. Yes and yes. This is our God today. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. And he has done all this through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, who is able not only to save us from our sin, but to keep us because he knows what it's like on our journey here on earth. And Sinclair Ferguson captures this well in saying, he that is Jesus is able to help us in our weakness because he has been there. He is able to help us in our sin because he has borne the judgment of our sin on the cross. He is able to bring us forgiveness and protect us from the enemies of the night and day because he has faced full on the enemies of our souls and overcome them. Praise him. The enemy of our souls is a defeated foe. And so by God's grace, through faith, we are saved and now able to understand the message of Psalm 121 better because the journey is not done. in our own doing, but by the keeping and sustaining great gift of our salvation through our God. Because we have one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who daily says to us as we face our situations, as we face our difficulties and trials, Jesus says, Jamie, I have been there. I have taken the sting of death itself. I have wrestled with those temptations that stalk and pursue you day and night. I have been tried just as you have been. I have not fallen. I have not failed. I have not been defeated. I have no limitations. I have never ever left your side. For I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those whom the Father has given me are mine. Place your name in that. This is what Jesus says to his children today. This is what our salvation, our great rescue is all about. Not only are we saved from the penalty of our sin, but we are kept and delivered by the power of our sin from this time forth and forevermore. And so God will see and has seen the psalmist's journey through. God has seen David Livingstone's journey through. And God will see our journey through to glory. Because he is still in the business of watching and keeping our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God doesn't put his children on furlough like we see all of the news in this last couple of weeks. You have him always. All his help, all his keeping, all of Jesus. So be confident in the great keeper of our souls. For all he says and all he does, it's real, folks, and it is true. And so in our weakness, in our great weakness, let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may find help in our time of need. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ, because greater is he that is in you. For he is altogether lovely, isn't he? He is boundless in majesty, yet he has such grace for sinners like you and me today. Look to him, for we supply the weakness, and Jesus supplies the strength for our journeys. Amen. Let us pray together. Father, we give you thanks that we can look away to Jesus, look away from all and look to him. And then we need not stumble, then we shall not fall. We are thankful, Lord, that in this safety of Christ, that it ensures our great salvation and our great rescue. We are thankful, Lord, that you have saved us and placed us on this journey. So help us ascend well. Help us keep running with endurance to the end. Cause us to see our help comes from the Lord. Cause us to look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, that we may have life. And we give you thanks for this. Help us this day. Help us tomorrow. Help us this month and the weeks and the years ahead. Cause us to run and depend more and more, not on ourselves, but in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.